Turn to 1 Peter, if you would, chapter number 5. 1 Peter, chapter number 5. This kind of weather makes you appreciate warm garments, doesn't it? Good to have heat in the house. I want to read a couple verses this morning in this wonderful portion of God's Word. 1 Peter, first of all, better find it myself. I had to do not only welcome you folks, but also folks that are watching this morning as well. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll get there shortly. You folks just bear with me. Okay, here we go. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5. Let me read verses 6 and 7 if I can. The Bible says in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's pray. Our Father, this morning, as we approach the throne of grace, we do so with thanksgiving and praise, and Lord, and with joy as well, understanding this morning that this is a privilege in itself to be able to come together in the house of God and to worship and to sing the songs of praise, and then, Lord, to listen to what the Word of God has to say. We thank you for the good music that we just heard and for this attendance this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for the healing that has taken place in the lives of our church members, those that Brother Howe after his surgery, and then others recovering, and how we thank you, Lord, for the blessings and the answers to prayer that you've already done. And Lord, all of the other hosts of names upon the list, so many people, dear Father, with physical issues and other concerns going on, we're glad that there is a God in heaven who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So, Father in heaven, I pray now that you would bless, give us understanding of your word, and help us this day to make the proper application by the help and grace of God. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want us this morning, as we approach the Bible and bring a message today, I want us to consider a subject, a thought, and the subject of the thought is, and of course, Sister Lisa always does such a good job in posting these sermon outline titles on the internet. We appreciate that. But I want to preach today on the thought, just be careful. Just be careful. And the thought itself comes from actually verse 7. But I want to sort of go out a little bit differently as far as understanding what's behind this word care. But again, look at it, please. Verse number 7, it says, casting all your care. There's the word I want us to focus on. All your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, when we admonish someone to be careful, we are saying perhaps several things. Maybe we're saying to that person, watch yourself. Watch yourself. We say be careful or watch yourself. Or maybe when we say be careful, maybe we're saying to that person, stay out of danger. You know, stay out of danger. Or let's say maybe in a military context, maybe it would be practice situation awareness. Practice situation awareness. Now, when we break down the word care, it's kind of an interesting word. And, you know, I was thinking as I worked on this message, preparing for the service this morning, I was thinking, you know, the English language can really be confusing. And for those that are grappling, trying to understand the English language, it's a challenge in more ways than one. For example, there are many English words that can be used in different contexts. they would mean different. And I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad. Let me just put it like this. I'm thankful that I learned. You're going to laugh at this. Some of you might still be thinking. Now, be careful, preacher. I'm going to say, though, I'm glad I learned the English language by virtue of being born in this country and just grew up, you know, in a school system and learned it that way. I'd hate to think of coming to this country and having to learn the English language. I mean, there's just so many variables, just so many things. For example, single words can have multiple meanings. Like, I remember years ago, I was visiting the hospital in West Virginia, walked in, one of our church members was very sick, and got to talking with him, and then finally, I said to him, I said, Brother Keene, his name was Keene, I said, Brother Keene, do you mind if I have a word of prayer with you? And his response to me was this, he said, go ahead, crack right down. In other words, crack right down to him meant that's okay. You know, go ahead and pray. Sometimes English words are poles apart. I asked a guy one day, was he from New Jersey? He said, no, I'm from New Zealand. I only missed it by about 6,000 miles. But the word care. Now, let's look at it like this. The word care can have both positive and perhaps negative meanings. Now, when I say to someone, I care about that person, or we're talking and we say, we care about someone, then that's good. That's good. When we care about someone, using care in that context, that's good. We need to care about other people. Then, if we say I'm under the doctor's care, then that's good and bad. It's good in the sense that the doctor is basically taking care of our medical needs, but it's not so good because it indicates we have a medical issue. So it's good and bad. Now in the Bible, when the Bible says casting all your cares, like the verse here, of course, the word care is singular. Casting all your care. The word care in this context has the idea of anxieties. Anxieties. In fact, I'm thinking even what Paul said in the book of Philippians, where he mentions a verse that basically proves that. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. The thought is, be anxious for nothing. Then he says, but by everything, by prayer and supplication. So the word care can mean anxiety. Now that's bad. That's bad in that particular context. But it's still good to let God help us. So you see, that's the proper approach. When Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, that is a tremendous verse. That is a comforting verse. That says we can take our anxieties, we can take our cares, we can cast them upon the Lord. And then the verse also says that God cares for us. That's good stuff, isn't it? God cares for us. Now, if I attempt to carry my anxieties myself, and I want us to think about this. Let me put it like this. When we attempt to carry our anxieties ourselves, you know what we're saying? We're saying I'm capable myself. We're saying I'm able myself to carry my anxieties, to take care of my cares. And by the way, that's an exercise of pride. That is an exercise of pride. You would be surprised to know how many humble-looking people are actually proud people. It probably amazes us to know that. You know, you don't have to look any further to know that pride is a part of this thing of me carrying my own anxieties. Pride's a part of it. You say, preacher, prove that to me, please. One verse up. Look what it says. Verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So, there it is. Humble yourselves. It is absolutely amazing how pride feeds so many other sins that goes on in people's lives. It stems from pride. Why do you think Peter would use the word humble? Then he comes along and he mentions casting our cares on the Lord. But the word humble precedes verse number 7. And therefore, we can conclude from that people that refuse to cast their cares on the Lord, it's almost like they're saying, I can take care of it myself. And so it kind of turns around by saying, I'm too proud to humble down. Let God have it. Let the Lord take care of it. I'm just going to go ahead and insist on straddling my own, or letting my own things straddle me, my own anxieties, and I'll work it out myself. There's only one problem with that. It doesn't work too well. It sure doesn't. The best approach to life is swallow the pride, take our weak hands, and I'm talking in a spiritual way, swallow our pride, take our weak spiritual hands, and cast our anxiety on the Lord. Let him take care of it. My friends, this morning, because God cast our sins upon the person of his Son, because our iniquities were placed upon him, because of that, you and I can not only have our sins forgiven, but we can take the anxieties and the problems and the burdens of life and we can cast them on the Lord. If God can put our sins on the person of his Son, you can be sure that God can handle our anxieties, our problems. And I've still got, and by the way, that passage here in Philippians, that is a wonderful passage. Philippians 4:6. Let me read it again. Be careful for nothing, or stop being anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. In everything by prayer. Rather than worry about something, pray about it. That's what he's saying. Quit worrying about it. Pray about it. Let me keep reading. In everything by prayer and supplication. And then Paul as much as says, and don't forget when you're praying, also be thankful. Because he says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. My friend, that'll work against anxiety. Rather than worry, we need to be praying. Again, Peter said, casting all your cares upon him. You know, I've learned this down through the years, being a good Baptist for all these years. Brother Glenn this morning did a good job teaching Sunday school class. He made the reference, you good students of Scripture. And that's a commendable statement, because that's true. We have good students of Scripture in this church. But now, in a sarcastic way, I'm kind of putting it like this. Being a good Baptist, down through the years, I've learned that Baptists do some strange things. They're pretty good actors from time to time. Most of them are pretty good at quoting Bible. You know, we can quote verses of Scripture. And we can quote verses like, casting all your cares upon him, like Peter says here, for he cares for you. My God shall supply all you need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We can quote, all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So we're pretty good at quoting those verses. But it seems like us Baptists, we get knocked out of gear as quick as anybody I know. Least little problem comes along. That verse that we've been quoting, for some reason, it loses its relevance. We can quote it pretty good, but we sure can't claim it. I know many Christians that are just putting themselves through the fit. They're actually their worst enemy. They got all kinds of things going on in their lives. They're torn with issues. I know of Christians that are saddled with problems, whether it be health issues, whether it be emotional issues, or whatever the case might be. And it just seems like, in some of them that I know of, for whatever reason, these wonderful verses they've been quoting all these years, why in the world can't they claim them and do exactly what it says? God says, casting your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Why can't we do that? Why can't we? Well, it falls back to what that other verse says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Too many people are influenced by pride. They won't humble down. They think they've got it. They think they can handle it. They think they can take control of their lives. We cannot. We're no match for the problems of life. We can't deal with these pressures. We can't handle the anxiety. So God says, dump them on Jesus Christ. The same one that I dumped your sins on. The same one that I put your iniquities on. God says, put your anxieties on Him. Let Him take care of them. We seem to not be able to do that. And I think it's a tragedy. If there's anybody on the face of God's green earth that ought to have peace and joy and contentment, it ought to be Christians. We have a resource the world doesn't have. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have the Father's love. We have the Savior's sacrifice. We have the Scriptures to back it. And when the experiences of life come piling in upon the top of us, we need to do more than quote these verses. We need to get on our knees and humble down, like Peter says in verse 5, and say, Lord, I can't do it alone. I can't handle this alone. Let me cast it on you. I want to, this morning, just practical stuff, not too long of a message. But first of all, here's my thought. We need to be careful. Now think about this. We need to be careful what we do with our cares. We need to be careful what we do with our cares. The verse says what we need to do with our cares. Casting all your care upon Him. You see, He really cares about our cares. He cares about our cares. We tend to think He cares about the world at large. We tend to believe that God cares about humanity. But do we believe that He cares about us individually? That's what the verse says. You see, with God, it's not simply a universal care. It's a personal care. We view Him as general over the troops, but fail to realize that He's our Father. He's more than the general. He's our Father. We ask sometimes, how can you reconcile, how can I reconcile my sufferings with God's care? Boy, that's an age-old question. People say, if God loves me, then why am I suffering? If God cares, then why am I suffering? The question being, how can we reconcile our sufferings with God's care? Well, the same way you reconcile good parents with the suffering of their children. Think that one through. Can you reconcile good parents with the suffering of their children? I would like to think you could. You see, good parents suffer when their children suffer. That's how it's done. In other words, if a child suffers, can that child say, I'm suffering because my parents are not good parents? No. When a child suffers, if the parents are good parents, the parents suffer along with the children. Now, bring this over to the spiritual realm. How can you reconcile sufferings with a loving God? Well, God suffers when we suffer. I preached last Sunday. In fact, I put something on the, I posted something today. Jesus wept. You remember that sermon? Jesus wept. When we hurt, God hurts. When we suffer, God suffers. We have a hard time realizing that, don't we? He says, casting your care upon Him, He careth for you. I have no cares, O blessed Lord, for all thy cares are thine. I live in triumph too, for thou hast made my triumphs thine. If we could somehow, some way, realize that God's in on this. He's a part of it. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible says in Psalm 55, verse number 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You can't beat that verse. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord. The thought is, we need to be careful to cast our burden upon the Lord. And I'll tell you something, it takes humility to do that. Verse 5. Do not read verse 6 without reading verse 5. It takes humility to do that. Am I going to say, I'm going to carry it myself, or am I going to say, I'm going to humble down and let God have it? Keep the two verses together. Secondly, my second point is this. We need to be careful about God's care. We need to be careful about God's care. This book proves that God really cares. You know, Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 30. Think about this. Wherefore, if, you know, sometimes you can take that little two-letter word, if, and there's volumes of teaching in that little short two-letter word, if. I wonder what that if is connected with. Let me keep reading. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? That if connects two great truths. That if takes the thought that God clothes the grass of the field. We could say God feeds the birds. God takes care. He sees a sparrow falling to the ground. And since God does that, Don't you know he's going to take care of his people? That's what it's teaching. That if has volumes of lessons in it. If God does this for the lesser, we can be sure that God will do much more for the more significant. The lesser, the grass, the birds, the animals, but the more important would be those that he created in his own image. If you don't think God loves you, my friend, you don't know what Calvary's all about. If God would allow the torment of our sins to be placed upon his own Son out of love for us, then don't you know that God is concerned today in our needs? If he put his Son through that to save our soul, do you think then that God's going to dump us after he saves us? Oh yes, you good Bible students know today that Christians suffer. You know that Christians die. You know that Christians go to the hospital. You know that Christians have problems and burdens and so forth, don't you? We all know that. But does that diminish the love of God? No. A little wise thought helps us understand that we're getting most of this mess from Adam to start with. If you've got anybody to blame, blame Adam. Don't blame God. I've often thought, oh, poor old Adam, they better quarantine him in heaven. A lot of people are going to want to get at him. We come into this world hurting. I mean, how many of you ladies today, now let me just ask this little question here today. How many of you ladies can remember when you birthed your child? When your child come into the world, did the child come into the world laughing? The opposite, right? We come in this world laughing, and a lot of times, crying. I better get it right. There's a difference. We come into this world crying, and many times we'll go out of it crying. That's part and parcel of having that fallen nature of Adam. But God loves us in spite of it. He took care of it. You see, God sees the big picture. We're not put here to keep on living forever here in his old bodies anyway. The good is yet to come. The real is yet to come. You see, that's how we need to view life. I mean, too many people, they only have a bird's eye view of everything. Why me, Lord? We know some old heathen out there that can't even pronounce the name God right, curses the day, curses God and lives as all heathens do, actually, like Brother Glenn mentioned this morning. Everybody's a heathen before they get saved. And we wonder, how in the world can that person get by with what they get by? We've seen some of them live up to be 100 years old. Wicked, cruel people. Running roughshod over everything. And we say, why? Why are they getting by? Well, if we wise up, we realize they're not getting by. They're miserable down deep. And the wrath of God's over them. And they're in for it. If they die in that condition. But we Christians have got it made. In spite of the mess that things we go through. I don't like having to stand up here in the mornings, every Sunday morning, and cough and gag and carry on with this old mess I got. Let me tell y'all a good one. I get a kick out of this. You know, today, this is funny. It's funny enough for me to tell it. You may not think it is, but it's funny. I went into a jewelry store. And this jewelry store, the jewelry store owner is from Cambodia. But that's not really that significant where he's from. But what was funny, I was in there. Now what's this newest strain of this thing called? What's the newest strain? Omicron. Yeah, Omicron. Did I pronounce that right, Cheryl? Okay, I'm in the jewelry store. And this church knows I've got serious issues all the time with this crazy drainage. And I coughed one time in that jewelry store. And that jeweler looked at me. He said, "You got Omicron." I said, "I beg your pardon. I just got tested. I'm good to go." You know, I never thought I'd ever feel sorry for an old common cold. You can't have the cold anymore. You can't get any, everything you got anymore is COVID. Some form. Poor old cold took a bad hit, didn't it? Used to be we'd get a cold. Now everybody's got Omicron. I started to say, are you a doctor or a jeweler? Make up your mind. We need to be careful to know about God's care. We need to. Man's care, at its best, has its limitations. We can sympathize with people, and that's good. And mixing our tears with people that are grieving may help to diminish the bitterness of their cares. But God says, the cares really do need to be cast upon the Lord, though. We can weep with people. We can be sympathetic with people. But it's God's part to take care of that care. And you know, here's another thought, too. When I've got a heavy burden, and I go to the Lord, and I say, Lord, I can't handle this alone. You're going to have to take it. I get on my knees, or whatever the case might be, I ask God to help me. I may get up off of my knees, and I still may be sick. I still may sense a burden, still be troubled, but God somehow, some way still gives us peace and grace to know that He's with us through it. We get that, it's coping grace. That's what I'm looking for. We're able to bear these things. In other words, in everything, by prayer and supplication, as we have a hotline towards heaven, as we talk to the Lord in fervent prayer, as we fellowship with the Lord, even when we deal with these things in life, we still have the grace to be able to handle them. Which doesn't mean that I might totally at one point in time be completely delivered from what that particular thing is. When I'm in fellowship with my Lord over that, when I've learned to still go to Him and talk to Him and, and everything by prayer and supplication, when I have that line open, a fellowship towards heaven, I can still handle what the future holds. I can still live better with these issues. You see, the average Christian's problem is a spiritual problem. They're not learning to trust God. They're not learning to walk with God. They quote these verses but never apply them. And that's where we fail. We need to be careful to know about God's care. Then thirdly, we need to be careful to know what it means that God cares for us. God as a Father. Okay, let me read that verse. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Okay? I've read it several times already, but I want this to sink in. God has a supervising, fostering, and loving interest in what we're going through. Why should we saddle ourselves with a burden of care when we can cast it on the Lord who cares for us? I heard of a good story one time of a young lady who wanted to be a missionary. She wanted to be a missionary to go to India. Well, what happened? Her sister got sick. Her sister died. So this young lady wanting to become a missionary, she decides that what she would do then, she'd better stay home and help out in the family because her sister had 5 kids. Wasn't too long till her brother-in-law died. So she now has the custody of those 5 kids. She's to be their foster parent. She teaches them, she trains them, she spends time raising them, She teaches them the scriptures. She teaches them truth. And 15 years later, three of them went to India as missionaries. Sometimes we think, now why me, Lord? Why am I having to be singled out to go through these issues of life if we'll only be patient, keep our eyes on Christ, cast our burdens on Him? It'll surprise us down the road how God is using that circumstance all along, and the aftermath, the end fruits of it, usually is going to be far more than the fruit if you and I would have gotten what we wanted. Works time and time again. That old song says, is there a heart bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety leave it there. All your anxiety, all your care, bring them to the mercy seat. Leave it there. Never a burden He cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. You know, our attempting to carry our own care is almost as ridiculous as, let's say, a man's out on the road walking with a heavy burden on his back. And let's say a man comes by in a vehicle and stops and says, sir, could I give you a ride? Now, I know this will sound ridiculous, but it kind of illustrates my point. Imagine that guy with that heavy burden on his back, that pack on his back, getting in that vehicle. And now the vehicle pulls out, the car goes down the road, and the man is seated beside the driver, but he's still wearing that pack on his back. I know that was a crazy illustration, but that's kind of what we Christians do. In other words, God's taking care of us, but we still want to insist on carrying the load ourselves. Why not just let God do it? We're in His vehicle. He's doing fine without our help. We ought to just let Him take care of it. But you know what, though, friend? It's an act of humility. And that's where the rubber hits the road. Humility, plain old-fashioned humility, has become a lost art among so many of us Christians. Humbling down. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for the plain reading of Your Word and the plain truth of Scripture. Dear Father, if there's someone today in this church service or someone that's watching today by internet that is trying to carry the load themselves, help them, dear Father, to cast it on the Lord, because He tells that's a command. That's a command, dear Lord. And help us to do what the Bible says. Let Him take care of it. Father, if there's someone today that's under the burden of sin, lost without Christ, Father, they need the Savior more than anything else. And once He comes into their life, then they can have the grace and the victory to be able to live for Him. Now, Father, bless this invitation. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just a moment of prayer and silence. I wonder today, are you trying to carry your own burden? Are you trying to do it alone? Do you think that you have the ability yourself to handle that problem? When are you going to realize you and me don't have that ability? That's why God says, cast it on Me. I wonder how many of you would say right now, Pastor Peters, God spoke to my heart. Why am I allowing myself to be straddled with something that God says to lay on Him? And I realize it today. I need to do what Peter said, humble down and admit it and let God have it. Would you pray for me? Could I see your hands across this building? Pray for me, Pastor. Yes, God bless you. I've been trying to carry it. Yes, sir. I've been trying to carry it myself. And God says, lay it on me. And you'd say, pray for me, Pastor. God's touched my heart about that. I know now why I'm miserable in so many ways. I'm trying to do it alone. And I see today I can't. Will you pray for me? Anyone else in the service? Anyone else? Just a moment while we begin to sing. Would you like to just come today and ask God to help you here at this altar? Good place to start. Church invitations, church altars still mean something. They mean a lot. They mean a lot. How many people have come to Christ at altars? How many burdens have been lifted at altars? Oh, let's never minimize the day of the altar. Would you like to come in just a moment? Please do as God would have you. Father, bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.